Welcome to this week's podcast from the teaching team at Beacon Church. For more information about our church, please visit beaconchurch.com.au. We hope you enjoy the message.
Good morning. How are you? It is so good to be back here with you, Redlands. 10 a.m. service. Well done. This is the service I'd come to. I don't like early mornings. It was so cold to get out of bed this morning at 6 a.m., so you guys are the wise ones. I love it. Thank you, Pastor Asbeck. We love your pastors. You are blessed to have such incredible pastors. I reckon if my brother wasn't the pastor of the church I have to go there because he's my brother. I get in trouble if I don't. But I'd probably come here. These guys are amazing. You know, just listening to the vision is exciting. You know that song we sung today, You Can Light It Up? I was just sitting here, I sat in the first service, I saw the picture in the first service, and I just, as we were singing that song, I'm just listening, you know, God, you can light it up. It's a big vision, but God, that's your job. Our job is to do our small part. And I just pray, my prayer today is at the end of today, you'll be inspired to actually work out, well, what's my part in the legacy? Don't wait for the person next to you to do it. Oh, I'll leave it to them. No, you do your part. And that's what legacy is all about. You do your part and you just give God something to bless. But I just really felt that was prophetic, that song. You can light it up. I love it. Let me tell you about my little girl, Zara. She has a sweet tooth. In fact, she informs me she's got two of them and she knows where they are. She's like, Daddy, it's this one here and it's that one there. And her teeth are starting to fall out. She's seven and she's freaking that one of her sweet tooth are going to fall out and then that's going to be done. Maybe I help perpetuate that story. But she loves chocolate. And Easter, we had Easter a few weeks ago. And one of her favorite times of the year, she's got like a little egg bucket that she uses to do the Easter egg hunt. And so I was just watching with great amusement as she was planning and preparing for the egg hunt, working out strategies on how she can ruthlessly beat her older brothers to the eggs. And I then watched with great interest as she ran through the farm that day when we said go, and she just scooped up so many eggs. It was phenomenal. And she came back in, it was proud as punch, all fluffed up like a little bantam rooster. And I said, darling, look at all the eggs you've got. She goes, yes, Daddy, I did well. And I said, baby, can you explain to Daddy how it is that within a few minutes you were able to collect dozens of eggs, and yet there are three things sitting on your bedroom floor that I've been asking you to pick up for days, and you cannot manage to pick them up? And well, she very emphatically and responded. She smiled and she said, Daddy, that's easy. Those things on my floor are not made out of chocolate. So I couldn't argue with that response. But I've come to realize that parenting doesn't always go to plan. You know, in fact, life doesn't always go to plan. You've heard the old saying, if something can go wrong, it will. Murphy's Law. We might think, oh, that's just coincidence. But let me tell you, it's actually not. It's called entropy. And it's the foundation of the second law of thermodynamics. It's the natural tendency of things to break down and lose order. You see, without effort and intention, life tends toward chaos. Let me give you a couple of examples. What happens if you don't tend your gardens? Weeds. That's right. What if you've got metal outside? What's going to happen to it if you don't paint it or cover it? It's going to rust. What about your room? If you don't care for it, it's going to go messy. It's going to get dusty. It's going to get dirty. Relationships. If we don't tend to relationships, we can lose them. What about finances? Well, you can fill in the blank. Think about human life for a moment. The array of atoms that make up your body could be arranged in virtually an infinite number of combinations, and nearly all of them would lead to no form of life whatsoever. Mathematically speaking, the odds are overwhelmingly against your very presence here today. There's a better chance of you getting a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle. If you've ever done one of them, they're a nightmare, don't do them, they're painful. But if you grabbed 1,000 pieces and just threw it up in the air and it fell to the ground in perfect formation, perfectly completed, there's a better chance of that happening than you, the odds of you being here today. You are a very unlikely combination of atoms, and yet here you are. It's truly remarkable. You see, guys, in a universe where entropy rules the day, the presence of life with such organization, structure, and stability really is stunning. The reason being is because it was designed. It was intentionally planned. In life, there's mathematically greater chance of disorder and order. Here's my point. If you want to succeed at failure, then do nothing. And failure will naturally come, and your life will tend toward chaos. But what if I told you that in just 10 minutes a day, you could create an incredibly significant life. Remove yourself from chaos and create an incredible life. You know, we don't have long on this planet. We get one pass, don't we? One pass at life, and we need to make our days count. I love what the psalmist wrote. If we can throw that scripture up in Psalm 39, 4, thousands of years ago, he said this, "Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is." A few chapters he goes on to say this. Next scripture. "Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Over the next 20 minutes, I'd like to talk about what you can do intentionally to build your future and lead you to becoming the very best you that God has designed for you and created you to be. I don't just want to wander through life aimlessly. No, God's got a purpose and a plan for each of them, and it's unique to you. You're that unlikely grouping of atoms, unique to you like nobody else. So God has got a plan for you. And you know, when it does come to legacy, you've got a part to play. God's got you in this church for a reason. There's a reason you're here. You add your flavor to this church. Don't you be you. You have your part to play. Don't just sit idly by. Think about what can I do to do this? For me, I plan my life by regularly focusing on five key areas, and we're going to look at them today. I call them the five F's, and they help me number my days and keep my life intentional, legacy-minded, exciting, and it keeps chaos at bay, and you can too. Here are the five keys that I'm going to share on today. The first one is faith. The second one are your finances. Third is family. The fourth is fitness. And the final one is future. Let's unpack this a little bit. I'll tell you a little bit about my story. Now, my wife, Karen, and I, we live a crazy life. It's an exciting life. We've got so much going on. We run the Legacy Road organization. I run Brandon and Gullo Lawyers, which is a thriving firm in southeast Queensland and northern Queensland. Karen also finds time, I don't know, to keep our house together and our marriage working well. She runs Suncoast Care, which is a food security organization in Nambour. And she also volunteers her time to help with the administration of our church, Suncoast Church. It has its moments of pressure, for sure. But money isn't one of them anymore. Our ventures that we do allow us to give away six figures, hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. We're debt-free. We're in control of our time. We're able to take our children on incredible adventures and quietly bless so many people around us. But I'm not saying that to brag, but my point is it wasn't always like that. We didn't start out like that. I'd like to take you back a few years and share with you my story of how intentionality helped us arrive at where we are today, because we certainly didn't start this way. I've understood that we don't start out big. It's the small things that you need to get right to start out. We didn't start out doing the big things. That building, that's a big thing, all right? Don't let it scare you off. Let's start doing the small things right. And here's my story. At 17 years of age, I just finished high school. I got my marks. And I basically flunked out. I did dismally and I felt like a complete failure. I had a dream of going to law school. In fact, it was even prophesied over me that I would walk the courts of Pharaoh. Well, the marks I couldn't even walk the food court at university. It was absolutely dismal. And you know, getting that result where you feel your dreams start to slip away, where you feel like an absolute failure. You mean my 17 years of schooling have culminated in an absolute fail? My world was crumbling and my dreams were dashed. And I had a decision to make. I'm either going to let failure beat me or I'm going to keep moving despite the failure. And I chose to stand in faith. And that's our first F that we're going to look at very briefly. I held onto the scripture, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. And it says this. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding." My understanding was that I'd failed, that my dreams were gone. "Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him and he'll direct your path." Circumstances were speaking so loudly to me. They were yelling at me, but I decided to put God first and I trusted that he had a good plan for my life despite the circumstances. You see, I've come to realize that just because a storm is present doesn't mean God's absent. You might be going through your own storm at the moment. God is not absent. I'm encouraged by that story in the Gospels where we see the picture of Jesus on the Sea of Galilee with the disciples. And the Bible says that a great big storm brewed up. Now, these guys were experienced boaties, all right? They were fishermen. They knew the Sea of Galilee well. And they said the storm was so great that these guys started to fear for their very lives. And they did all that they could do. They trimmed the sails. They probably rowed, pulled the oars in, threw things overboard to try and lighten the load. They did all they could do. And when they could do no more, what do? They woke Jesus up in the front of the boat. He was probably asleep waiting for the 10 a.m. service to start. But he was asleep in the midst of this storm. And they woke him up and they brought him in after doing all that they could possibly do. So I looked at that story and says, well, I'm going to apply that in my own life. So I prayed hard and I intentionally set about controlling whatever I could. I was able to control how hard I studied, how hard I worked, how much I gave. I could control my attitude and I refused to give up and I stayed in faith. You see, friends, my short-term failure wasn't the end of the story. Zechariah 4:10 is a beautiful passage of scripture, if we can throw that up. Written thousands of years ago, and it says this. It says, do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. I know during Legacy Month, the real focus is on building toward a future home for this church. You guys have an audacious goal, and I love it. And it can seem overwhelming when you look at the cost and the obstacles that might be in front of us. It's not just cost, though. There could be market issues. There could be price fluctuations, planning rules. But don't despise the small beginnings, because giving God something to bless is all he needs. You know, this is today is Pentecost Sunday. And as you guys know, Pentecost Sunday is the day that we remember the Holy Spirit coming upon the disciples in the upper room. Just a small crowd of them, wasn't many, but the Holy Spirit came and gave them power to go out and do the work that needed to be done. And look at us today, a few thousand years on, man, it swept the world. I mean, I bet you when they started out, they probably could never have envisaged what the result would be. They gave God something to bless. Psalm 1 says, whatever you do will prosper. It's not just about sitting there and believing or hoping or leaving it to the person next to you to do it. No, whatever you do will prosper. Guys, sometimes in life, we've just got to give God something to bless. And he'll say, right, so you guys have done your bit. Now stand back and let me do my part. That's what Legacy Month, I believe, is about. Starting the work and giving God something to bless. I consistently, in my journey, did the small things. I got into an arts degree. Apparently, they were giving them away at the time. And sorry to all the arts students here. I then applied for a business degree. And I studied as hard as I could to get into law. And at 23, I saw his faithfulness in my life come to pass as I graduated top of my postgraduate law class. Here's it in practice. Here's the F heading, the faith heading in practice. Your faith, guys, is your foundation. It's going to help you weather the storms that come. I encourage you to get the Word of God into you. Spend a few minutes each day in the Word, praying, reading. It may be in your car as you're driving to work or on the bus or train going to work or university. Listen to a podcast. Listen to the Bible through the year. Get the Word in your heart. Understand what God says about different situations that'll come your way. It'll help you weather the storm, even a few minutes every day. Pray over your kids if you have them, over your spouse. Pray over your health, God's blessing, over your finances, over your workplace and over your future. I encourage you to bring God in. Put him first and watch what happens. God loves to be involved in your life. He cares about your future, about your destiny. It's a relationship that will thrive with time. That's the first F that I spend some time every day focusing on. Let's look at the second F. It's finances. Sadly, my troubles didn't end when I got a law degree. At 30 years old, Karen and I started our own law firm, Brandon & Gullo Lawyers, and it took off. We made some really smart decisions and then we made some really dumb decisions. We went too hard too soon and we began living beyond our means. We started taking on a whole lot of debt and borrowing to invest heavily into property developments. We were living well beyond our means, borrowing also to buy nice new cars and live on the waterfront in Mooloolaba. I had to look the part. I was a young partner in a law firm, but it wasn't even 2 years into our law practice's existence that the global financial crisis hit. Now, we were a property-based law firm, and our biggest clients were property developers, big builders, real estate agents, and the market for them ground to a halt. Many of them went bust, and we very, very soon found ourselves in a position where we too were going backward financially very fast. We had more month than money. We couldn't afford our lifestyle, and at 34 years of age, we were pretty much broke, and I was moving home to live with my parents to try and make ends meet. Now, before you feel too sorry for me, as an Italian boy living with your wife and your mother, it doesn't get a lot better than that. It wasn't as good for my wife, though, I will say. You could say that things were in chaos in our life. We realized that we had to change the way that we were doing things, as the results that we were seeing were not what we wanted. We needed to go back to the smart, simple foundations and intentionally build properly from there. Friends, I've come to realize that my tomorrow is going to look a lot like the seed that I'm sowing today. I knew if I did nothing, or did worse than nothing, continued to let my spending get out of control again, my finances would tend toward chaos. So Karen and I started to plan, and we intentionally began to control some things. The first thing that we did is we controlled our spending by creating a money plan, which told every dollar we earned where to go. We would not spend a dime, a cent that wasn't provided for in our money plan. We made sure that we didn't spend more than we earned. We started living within our means because this was going to be our roadmap out of financial disaster. Because we had more month than money, I went out and took a second job. So I'd work all day in the law firm, I'd go home and play with my little boy and Karen, spend some time, and then I'd go out and do my second job. And this allowed our income to then exceed our expenses, and we started to save and rebuild. You know, Proverbs 21:5 says, good planning and hard work makes someone rich. I thought, well, if the Bible says it, I'm going to give it a go. And so I set about working hard. We worked our money plan. We stuck to it like glue. But it wasn't easy. But Karen and I hustled, and bit by bit by bit by bit, we saw the wins, win after win. And they started to gather momentum, and the gains came. And by the end of our 30s, we'd become financially free. It came at a price, though. We had to say no to a lot of things. We had to give up some short-term comforts. We had to disregard our image and what we were wearing and looking the part. I had to not care about what others thought about. Well, you know, you've gone from living on the water with all of these trappings of success to living with your mum. I had to ignore image. I found that image is the enemy of wealth. You got to make a choice there. Becoming financially free was worth the short-term sacrifice and discomfort. So we reset and we started to do the small things well. We were super disciplined with our money plan. We lived within our means. We got rid of debt. We started to save. We began to invest and we kept being generous. Guys, despite the pickle that we were in, we never let go of generosity. We remained generous. Now, our generosity at that time was very, very different to the generosity that it's today. We give away several times in a year what we earned back then. But that's not the point. The point is remaining generous. And it's relative to where you are. Even when things were their tightest, we always set aside a tithe. We believed his promises and trusted that God was our provider, not our own ability. You know, God says if you're faithful with the small, you will qualify and be trusted with much. I wanted to show God that I could be entrusted with much, that I'd give even when I had a small amount. Because I'll tell you what'll happen. If you can't give when you've got small, it's going to be even harder to give when you've got a lot. I know it. I've seen it all through the church. Build those practices into your life now. We purposed in our hearts that we would be faithful with the small that we had. We knew that our giving would bring about the miraculous. We knew that whatever we sowed, that we would reap in spades. And that without sowing, reaping becomes impossible. We knew that tithing opens the door to blessing and also rebukes the devourer over our lives. Malachi 3 tells us this. You know, as a small boy, my dad taught me to tithe 10% of my pocket money. Why? Well, the Bible was clear. Bringing a tithe into God's house is a timeless principle, and putting him first is an acknowledgement of his provision and a significant act of worship. Guys, let generosity be a foundational key in your life. Let's have a look at what Proverbs 22:9 says. We can throw that scripture up. It says this. It says, he who has a generous eye will be blessed. Who wants to be blessed here? Come on, we all do. You know, we're living on a planet, we breathe, we want to be blessed so we can live a great life and we can be a blessing to those. Here's a timeless key. He who has a generous eye will be blessed, for he gives of his bread to the poor. While we worked hard and got very disciplined with our finances, I, with a shadow of a doubt, believe that the X factor in our financial success was our giving, our generosity. We started to win again in our finances and the small victories multiplied and we continued to build on each victory. And you know, we're honored today to be able to give significantly today because we did the small things consistently and right. And out of small things, big things grow. Monitor this F daily. Monitor your finances daily and you will find that your finances will tend toward increase rather than chaos. Amen? Family, that's the next F that I'd consider at the end of each day. You know, during the season of life when things weren't well and we had to realign everything and restart, I was busy hustling, running the law firm, working two jobs, trying to turn around our financial situation. It would have been so easy to neglect time with my wife and my newborn son. I know what it's like to have to hustle and be in a hurry and want to achieve quickly. But each small decision that I make today is designing my tomorrow, either for good or for bad. And I was acutely aware of that. What I'm doing today is going to create my tomorrow. So it was vital that I made sure I planned for family time. What good would it do me if I saved my business, if I made money again but I lost my marriage, I lost relationship with my children? I've discovered that entropy rules the day in marriages that are not attended to. Chrysler, famous Chrysler CEO Lee Iacocca, one of the great CEOs of all time, said, "If I've done well with my family, I've done well in life." Guys, family is where the true riches in life are. Amidst the busyness of life, plan, focus time with your children, with your spouse, with your loved ones, and be present. Don't be on the phone. Don't be, when you're there, be there. At the end of your days, it's going to be the memories and the experiences that you've enjoyed with these ones, with your loved ones, that'll make your heart full. Now, here's a PSA. It stands for public service announcement. I didn't know that until my 12-year-old told me, PSA. He says, "You've got to be cool, Dad. You've got to say these acronyms." So PSA, 20 years from now, the only people who will remember that you worked late are your kids. Not your boss, not your work colleagues, your kids. Remember, to small kids, love is spelt T-I-M-E, time. For older kids, being present when they need you. With a loving ear and a encouraging word and a big hug, maybe a couple of bucks as well. Family is worth a few minutes of your day to think about, how am I tracking? Let's look at the next step, fitness. Another important one. So here I am, juggling a newborn son, working two jobs, getting out of debt, trying to put failure behind me, keeping a happy marriage. Well, what normally slips when we're busy at work and busy raising a family? Well, our sleep, our exercise, our healthy eating. So what did we do? I moved home with my Italian mother and let her take care of all of that. No, you have to plan for that. You've got to make a plan for your longevity and your health. Poor health will cost you. Spend, you know the old saying, you spend your health getting your wealth, and then you've got to spend your wealth getting back your health. You know, when I don't plan what I eat, I won't eat well. I'll lean toward convenience. And of course, it costs more. Planning your meals, eating at home is always healthier and cheaper. When I don't plan to exercise, I won't. Guys, the healthier you are, the more effective you will be at everything you do. You know, as a parent, I encourage you to stay active and involved with your kids. If you keep saying no to your child who are asking to actively engage with you, they're eventually going to stop asking. You know, I'm a bit freaked out because my baby's 7 years old now and I'm seeing a lot of lasts. And it makes me sad, but there's going to be a last time. They're going to ask you to wrestle or play dress-ups or sit down and do your nails. You don't know when that is, so don't miss it. Recreationally, there's so much to see and do in life. The healthier you are, the fitter you are, the more you can experience and enjoy this beautiful life that God has given us. Life is full of these amazing experiences. Financially, the healthier you are, the harder and longer that you can work, the more productive you can be, the greater wealth you and your family will be able to gather because of longevity. Your mind will make you money, but your body houses your mind. We need to look after our health and be useful. We want you to be around, to be a blessing to your family and city for as long as possible. Creatively, a healthy, well-fed and well-rested body will contribute to positive mental health, clarity and idea generation. And finally, relationally, being fit and healthy will yield returns in your relationships with your spouse, maybe romantically, and friends. You're more inclined to be social. Fitness is important, and you give it some of your daily thought. And the final F that I consider in that 10 minutes every day where I evaluate things is my future. You know, all of this juggling that we went through would have been for nothing if I didn't have a destination in mind, if I didn't have a plan for my future. You know, industrialist Charles Kettering says, "I expect to spend the rest of my life in the future. So I want to be reasonably sure what kind of future it's going to be. And that is my reason for preparing." Friends, sometimes we put a little bit more thought into this week's coming meal than we do our own future. Again, as an Italian, I don't have a problem with planning for food. It's a big part of my life. But how often do we actually stop and on purpose plan out our day, our week, our month, or even the years ahead? Friends, a great life is built by small, daily, consistent decisions. It's the books you read. It's the skills you learn. It's the podcasts that you listen to. It all impacts your future. You know, Pastor Jensen Franklin says the big things in life normally happen to those who are faithfully doing the little things. You know, it's true of King David. Pastor Az mentioned what the little rock did. You know, he was faithfully looking after what he had to do in his hand. He looked after his sheep. He practiced his skills. And you know what? When preparation met opportunity, Goliath was the fallout. And it set up his road to become a king. He was the least of his brothers, sitting in the paddock, the worst job in the family. Yet he did it well. He did the small things well. When you do the small things well, preparation will meet opportunity and big things are going to be the result. Guys, yesterday might have sucked, but tomorrow is there for you to own. It's yet to be written and the pen is in your hand. You do have a lot of control about what your tomorrow is going to look like. Someone is going to write the story of your life. Who better than you and God? You know, I encourage you not to let life happen to you. You happen to life. You might say, Ash, it's too hard for me to come back. Or my inmost dreams are too big for me to achieve. I'm too old. Let me assure you, it's not too late. History is full of people who have achieved great things, who have come back from repeated failure, and many in their later years. People who achieved didn't wake up that way. They just didn't give up. For me, I had a picture in my mind of what I wanted my future to be. Despite flunking out of school, failing financially, I refused to give up. And I intentionally set about creating small goals in these areas of the five F's that would each take me in the direction of my future. Do you have a picture of your future? Do you know what you want your life to look like in 1 year, in 5 years, in 10 years, in 20 years? If you don't, I encourage you after today, go home, spend a few minutes with God, saying, God, what do you want me to do? I guarantee it'll be something that is in line with some of your passions and desires, what moves you. But spend some time working out what you'd like your future to look like, what you want your legacy to be, what legacy you want to be part of. In the few moments that I, each day, take to think about my future, I'll ask what needs to be true about me that currently isn't true that would make me the man that I want to be in 5 years' time. That informs my goals. That lets me know what I need to improve on and change. Guys, take 10 minutes at the end of each day to reflect on the day that's been and how you've achieved in the areas of the five F's. If we could put that last slide up. I take a few moments just to look at how did I do today? Did I do something toward my future? Did I take a minute or two to improve myself? Did I read the word? Did I read a book, a podcast? Am I developing myself in some way for what God's got ahead for me in the future? What about my faith? Did I spend a minute or two with God? Did I spend some time praying or reading the word or listen to a podcast? Maybe in your car is a great way to do it. And I give myself a little mark. Yeah, I did great. Oh man, I didn't talk to God today. You know what? I'm going to do better tomorrow. You see, when we look at these things each day, we can refocus and keep ourselves on track. How did I do my fitness? Oh, I went for a jog today. Fantastic. Or gee, I ate 3 hamburgers. Not so good. You can refocus and you can fix it. You don't let things get away on you. This is how you'll create a significant life, by keeping careful check. How did I do my finances? Did you stick to your money plan? Were you careful with your spending? And what about your family? Did you spend some time telling your kids that you love them? Did you appreciate your mum or your dad or your spouse? My encouragement to you is have a look at that. And if you did well, great. If you need improvement, be intentional about what you'll do differently to shape the tomorrow you want to see. Doing this consistently will lead to an incredibly significant life. Let me leave you with the words of Russell Crowe, or otherwise known as Maximus Decimus Meridius, out of The Gladiator. What you do in life will echo in eternity. What part are you going to play? Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for this amazing church, these incredible people. I thank you for the lives that you have here and the greatness that's in this room. Lord, I just pray that you continue to reveal to each person the plan you have for their life. Lord, awaken the dreams, awaken the desires over them. And Lord, this day, Lord, in these five areas, I speak blessing over their family, over their finances, over their health, over their future. Lord, and let them push into the faith. But God, I just declare blessing, Lord, over them. And as they come into Legacy Month, Lord, I just pray that you show them the part they need to play in the legacy for this church and the impact on its city, Lord. I thank you now, and we give you the praise in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. We pray the message has inspired you. To connect with us further, visit beaconchurch.com.au.